Well, the story of Joshua is intriguing, especially the story of Jericho. It was an amazing victory for the Israelites, marching around the city, blowing horns and shouting to God. And as the song reminds us, the walls came tumbling down. But the fall of Jericho starts with promises given a long time ago to Abraham. In Genesis 12, we read this several weeks ago when we looked at Abraham. And it said, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give you this land. And then about 600 to 800 years later, after Abraham, God again restates the promise to Moses. In Exodus 6, it says, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. And as we learned a couple weeks ago, God uses Moses. He performs some very impressive miracles. And thousands of Egyptian citizens, their animals, and soldiers were wiped out during the plagues, during the night of Passover, and during the crossing of the Red Sea. But the Israelites were disobedient and ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. And not one person from the first generation, including Moses, ever made it to the promised land. And when Moses dies, the mantle of leadership is given to Joshua. We read in Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Some pretty good promises, finally coming true after 800 years. But these promises come with some very stern warnings. In verse 7 of Joshua 1, it says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now that's quite a promise from God, isn't it? A really incredible promise. But a promise that was only good if the Israelites kept up the other end of it. You see, they had to learn the same way we have to learn, that we have to do things God's way. To get God's promises, we have to do things God's way. And let me tell you, God's way can seem strange and bizarre at times. And when the Israelites are ready to finally cross over the Jordan River into the promised land, God gives them some strange instructions. He tells the priests who are carrying this big ark containing the Ten Commandments, he said, get 12 men, one from each tribe, and they're to step into the Jordan River. Now, at this time of year, the Jordan River was at its deepest of the year. In fact, it was at flood stage. And when the priests' feet hit the water, the flow on both sides of the flooded water stopped immediately, and the Israelites again crossed over dry land. And when all of Israel had crossed, now mind you, this was well over 500,000 people. And when all of Israel had crossed, God told them to take 12 stones from the riverbed to become a memorial of their crossing. Kind of strange, isn't it? I want you to cross over the Jordan River. Why didn't he pick the summer when it was dry and low and they could just ankle deep across it, you know? I mean, before they had the flood controls on the dam, you've seen pictures of the Ohio River, right? Where in the summertime, people could just walk across. But you wouldn't dare put your foot in the Ohio River if it was at flood stage, would you? He takes people at the deepest, roughest point of time, the hardest time to ever try to cross the river, and he says, have faith. Step out into that water, and I'll make it go dry. And they were faithful. They were courageous and stepped out into the floodwaters. And in their faith and obedience, God delivered as promised. And their next stop was the great city of Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city. It had big walls. It had a big army. But God had a plan. First, we find out that God's mighty works, even 40 years earlier, had spread throughout the region. They heard the story of the escape from Egypt and all the miracles that God had done. And now the people of the region also heard that God stopped the Jordan River for them, and that God had given them victory over other peoples. And Joshua sends his spies into Jericho, and they meet the Rahab, a prostitute, who tells them this: I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. See, when the people heard of the great things that God did, they knew how powerful God was. They realized that this was really the God of gods, the true God. And how powerful it was for God's obedient people, because they could accomplish and conquer anything with their God behind them. And you see, God had already set the stage for victory. God had promised them victory at Jericho. But again, they have to follow some really weird instructions. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in." You see, God tells them, you already have victory. I've set it all up. Just do it my way. No matter how weird, no matter how bizarre, do it my way and you will have victory. Now, God could have leveled that whole city by himself, couldn't he? He could have rained down fire like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah, but he said, no, I'm going to use you and you're going to do it my way. In our lives today, things are really no different. You see, God has promised us a lot. He has promised us victory. He has promised to lead us and to show us the way. In Luke 12, Jesus tells his followers this: when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. And then on the night that he shared his last supper, Jesus told his disciples this: if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You see, God has said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. Just be obedient and listen to me and do it my way, and things will be okay. And let us never forget that as his children, we are guaranteed victory. And Carla read this earlier. We're going to take it a little slower, and I want these words to really soak in. Paul writes to the Romans, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you get what those words are telling us? We have God on our side. And if God was willing to send his only Son for us, don't you think there is nothing he will not hold back to love us and guide us and give us victory? If God is on our side, if the Creator of all things is on our side, then really, who can be against us? Who or what can even challenge God? Who can defeat our God? And the scripture says that with God on our side, we are not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. He said there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. To me, that is one of the most powerful statements in the Bible. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Your God loves you through everything. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And we have promises that when we do things His way, things will always work out exactly as promised. So why do we ever have fear? If we are obedient, God will always lead us to victory. I think we have fear because we don't follow God. I think we have fear because of our own sin. And we need to become a people who every day get on their knees and say, God, forgive me and direct my day. God, forgive me, direct my day today. God, I didn't do it right yesterday, but get me on the right path today. And let us be obedient to God's ways, no matter how weird, no matter how bizarre, or even when it seems impossible. Do you think the Israelites went up to the flood of Jordan and say, we're going to get 500,000 people across that? Was that impossible for God to stop the river and cross 500,000 people over? We have a God who brought to death Israel's enemies. He parted a whole sea for his people to escape. But his people turned disobedient, and he allowed them to wander for 40 years. And some of you may be wandering in your life. You may be lost. You may not be where you want to be. You may not be where God wants you to be. But guess what? When the Israelites turned their hearts back to God, God took them and placed them where he promised. And God again parted the floodwaters. And God gave his people victory after victory after victory. If you read the story of Joshua, it is one battle victory after one battle victory after one battle victory after one battle victory. People who had never been an army, who were slaves, who wandered in the desert for 40 years with no military training and no military leaders, come and defeat some of the biggest armies in the Mediterranean. Because we have a God that promised them victory. And I think it's time that we get that. There is no separate God of the Old Testament and separate God of the New Testament. We still serve the same God. And although we are under the covenant of Jesus, God still demands obedience. But at the same time, God still promises victory. And Paul reminds us that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. So the question is, why don't we go and live it? Why don't we look at our problems and say, you know what, God? This problem is not bigger than you. God, I do not need to fear what's going on here or there or there or there. I need not fear, because if I am obedient, you will lead me to victory. Victory may not happen tomorrow. The victory may not happen for years. But as long as we remain obedient, God is a keeper of promises. And we need to be a people that live victorious. We need to be a people that celebrate what our God does. And the stories of the miracles and the things that God is doing in our lives need to go out and change people. Rahab, the prostitute, was changed because she heard what the great God did. And she bowed to them and she said, forgive me. I want to be one of you. I want to serve your God. I want your God. And that's the kind of people we should be. They should look at us and say, wow, I want your God. Your God is the God. He's doing great things. I see you do great things. We need to be that kind of people. We need to celebrate. This list should be upside down. Do you see that? One line of joy. We're happy you had your birthday, Jan. One line of joy and all the concerns. We should be so full of joy that we spend hours talking about it. God is doing great things in my life. And you see these problems? God's got them too. God's got an answer. God's going to use that situation. God is going to use me here, use me there. He'll give me the strength. If that's my calling, he'll lead me, guide me, and provide all the way. He'll knock down the walls that are in the way. I was 40 years old and I said, God, there's no way, there's too many walls that I can be a pastor. And you know what God did? He steamrolled every one of them. He took away all my excuses and said, now what? What's your excuse? Here's a way. Here's a path. This is your calling. Now go be obedient. And God will do the same thing for you. God might say, quit your job. God might say, pack up and move. God might say, you belong in Africa. God might say, you need to quit and go volunteer at the food pantry. God might do all kinds of things. He might say, take in a foster child, and you go, I'm retired. I'm well past raising kids, God. But whatever it is that God calls you to do, if he calls you, he will give you strength, he will push you, he will lead you, and he will guide you. We just need to be obedient. Let us pray together. Lord, you are a God that loves us. You are a God that simply asks us to love you in return. And we demonstrate our love by following your commands. Lord, your Son Jesus Christ was a perfect example of love on this earth. He taught us to take away our selfishness. He taught us to put others first. But more importantly, he told us to make you our very number one. And Lord, you are the same God that created this earth. You are the same God that flooded and restarted the earth. You are the same God that made promises to an old man and a barren woman. You are the same God that led the Israelites out of Egypt. You are the same God that gave Joshua victory. You are the same God that saw David defeat a giant. And you are the same God that loved us so much that you sent your Son to come and be our sacrifice, so that we may become your children, forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us never forget your greatness. Let us never forget the victory you have promised. And let us go live without fear. Let us always be your people, a people of victory. This we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go now and live in obedience. Live without fear and go in full assurance, proclaiming that we are more than conquerors, that we are God's victors. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.